You have arrived at your destination.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons from KISS, and you're listening to Sean vs. Wild. And guess what? Now that you've heard this, you owe me $29.95. Go to kissonline.com. Boom.
That's right. You have arrived at your destination, America's second favorite podcast, the Sean vs. Wild podcast. And I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith. And you know what time it is. It's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. America's second favorite, guys. Number two on the iTunes music podcast charts last week. Very excited. It's nice to know that all this work week in and week out, it's paying off and people are paying attention. So thank you to each and every one of you for joining me this Tuesday and every Tuesday, making the show get all the way up to number two last week. Number one is right on the horizon. I can feel it. I know we can do it, guys. And especially today, I have an awesome guest today. You wanted the best. You got the best. A very much requested guest. I'm talking to Amber Banana Fish this week on the podcast. We're talking all about growing up, her history, how she got into tattooing, and all the stuff that she's doing. She's keeping really, really busy between the shop, between conventions, and just now opening a brand new location, guys. That's right. 421 State Street in New Albany is the home of the brand new Banana Fish Tattoo Parlor. And from what I've heard, it's gigantic. That opens tomorrow, September 5th. So make sure you go down there and check it out. And guys, yeah, great conversation today. Very excited to have her on the show. Thanks, Amber, for doing this. And yeah, guys, thank you so much again for joining me here on Tuesday. Hope you guys had that long Labor Day weekend. I know I did. Got off work early on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Chilled all weekend. Got a lot of good family time in. And then Saturday, of course, I had the all-in party at Kaiju with my homies in Never Nervous. Big shout out to Jake and Miranda for joining me and putting that sort of thing on. It's mostly they're the jam. They're the one that needs to take all the credit for it, but I was there too. We had a great time. If you guys watched All In, you knew how awesome it was. And then, of course, it's back to the old grind today. I know I'll be back at work. So hopefully this podcast will help you get you through your work day. And to help get me through my work day, I got to take care of some business. And that's to talk to you about my awesome sponsor at Audiophile Inc. Shane from Audiophile has been printing my merch for years and years and years, for millennia untold, centuries. It's a tale as old as time, guys. Shane's been printing for me. Give me the best deal in town, no matter what town that I'm in. And he will ship to all 50 nifty United States, and he can do the same for you. So any screen printing needs that you have, shirts, stickers, hats, whatever, he's got you taken care of. Just go to audiophileinc.com, AudioPhileInc.com. Also want to talk about Audible. I've been using my Audible a lot, man, and you can too. You guys know Audible. It's an Amazon company. Over 180,000 audiobooks for you to choose from, and you're going to get a free 30 days just for listening to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild. Sign up. Get your free 30 days, man. See what all the hype is about. Trust me, it's totally worth it. And if you don't like it, if you choose not to extend outside of that 30 days, you still get to keep your audiobook. So how tight is that? Pretty fair deal. audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild. Make it happen, guys. Big shout out to Joe Brock for booping the dials. This week, he's doing it from the road. Foxbat is on tour conquering the Carolinas this week, and he edited it, or is editing it. I'm not sure how to say this, but he has been working on the road tirelessly still for me, making sure the podcast is ready to go for you guys today. So big shout out to Joe Brock for booping the dials. And yeah, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Short and sweet here today. Let's get to the conversation. That's what you guys are anticipating. This is me talking to Amber Banana Fish right now on the Sean vs. Wild podcast. Let's get wild. Amber, I'm so glad you're here. I had to speed home because you know I had trivia tonight at Hoopsters. Hoopsters and Jeff, guys, pretty underrated when it comes to the food and the trivia. I was winning. I was winning when I left. But
I'm
this is definitely
surprised.
Yeah. It was me, my sister, her husband, his daughter, and his brother. And we were a dream team there.
Oh, I believe it.
We were like the 1992 Olympic basketball team.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson. I don't remember Larry Bird.
I'm glad
there.
You said that because I didn't get it at all.
It's a basketball thing, guys. It's
sports
all about,
ball.
It's sports ball. Yes, you throw a ball into a hoop over and over until they tell you to stop.
I've heard about that.
And then you cash paychecks.
Yeah, mad checks.
Yeah, mad checks. You're not a sports fan?
No, not really.
I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, unless it's like roller derby, I really don't care.
Yeah.
Or wrestling. I mean, yeah. Wrestling's cool.
Professional wrestling. Yeah, yeah. Someone was like, you like sports? I was like, professional wrestling. And they're like, that's not a sport. I was like, okay, then I like fake sports.
Yeah, right.
It's much more entertaining. The drama's high. The stakes are high.
Right? I like a story.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of things being high, man, I'm surprised you didn't have to have a machete to get into the Smithsonian today because my grass is ridiculous outside.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Bless you for saying
that. I'm really
that.
Lazy, so I pay someone to cut my grass.
Dude, that's what I need. Usually I'm the one that's like, hey, yeah, I'll cut your grass for you for like $30. And then whenever I get, you know, back to my house, I'm like, yeah, I'll just cut it never.
Yeah.
I'll just wait for it to rain so I don't have to cut it for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of thing.
Or be that guy in the rain.
Yeah, just be that guy in the rain. Yeah, some lowly, depressed scumbag cutting his grass in the rain. Just a dark cloud raining over you.
Aww.
Wow. All right, guys, this podcast has really gotten sad really quick. So, yeah. But, yeah, I'm excited that you are here. You are, I don't know if I've told you this, and I didn't tell you this before we started, because I didn't want you to get a big ego or anything, but probably the most requested guest.
What?
Yes. I get requests all the time that you have to have Amber Banana Fish on the
Are
podcast.
You serious?
I am serious.
Who the fuck wants to listen to me?
That's what I'm saying, bro. No, your word's out on you, Banana Fish.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, I'm excited. It only took about 4 or 5 scheduling conflicts.
I know.
But you're God. A busy person.
So are you, man.
Yeah, it is what it is. We're just out there making power moves.
Yeah, making money moves.
Make exactly. Exactamundo. And dude, your business is totally taken off. Lots of awesome stuff that we're going to be talking about today, guys.
Yeah.
And it's not just the grass cutting and trivia podcast. This is the Sean versus Wild podcast.
Woo.
And I'm your host. You guys know me. The man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith. And I am joined by Amber Banana Fish. You wanted the best. Well, you got the best.
Hey, guys.
This week. Amber, how have you been?
I've been tired.
Yeah?
Yeah, exhausted.
I can imagine so. You're quite the jet setter. What's your schedule been looking like these past few weeks?
Oh, dude, if you looked at my Google Calendar right now, you would probably shit your pants. Like,
is it that stack?
It's stupid.
Do you color code everything?
I do. Actually, my husband does quite a bit for me.
Big shout out to Gerald.
Yeah, Gerald Kelly is probably one of the main reasons why any and all of this is happening and why we're doing pretty good. He is the organization master.
Big shout out, Gerald, to your color coding skills on Google Calendar and Google Keep.
Yeah.
What is Google Keep? You were telling me about that earlier.
Google Keep is awesome. It's like a program where I just found out about this. You can actually share lists, and I'm a list maker. Like, I'm kind of OCD about things.
Right.
And I have high anxiety. So when I can make a list about some things, sometimes that will calm me down. And you can share these lists. Like, you can add people to a certain list, like on Google Keep. And so multiple people can see it. Like, oh, it's awesome.
You know, there's a website that I love. It's called listchallenges.com, and it's just lists. And like, what the great thing about it, like, I have a list of 1001 movies you must see before you die.
Oh my God, yes.
And then they just keep adding to it as the books come out, basically. But what's so great about it is, like, every entry is just a little picture, and you can click on it and it goes gray and it gives you a big check mark over it.
Oh, that's cool.
So how I love the feeling of completion when it's, you just get to cross something off the list.
Yes.
So
I'm very much like into like the high fidelity thing of like making lists of like favorite things, and I feel like that's like one of the best ways to get to know someone.
Right.
Yes.
So like, a list. What would be the list that you would make?
Oh my gosh, so many. I mean,
or what's the list that you would want to really get to know somebody?
Top 5 favorite romance movies, top 5 favorite horror movies. You go through all the genres, whatever. Top 5 favorite restaurants, top 5 favorite cities. Like, God, there's so many lists.
What's your top restaurant?
Oh man, it changes. Right now, I would say Brooklyn and the Butcher.
Brooklyn and the Butcher, brother.
It's so butchy, or so bougie, sorry. That Brooklyn and the Butcher is delicious. If you guys have never tried it, downtown New Albany, it is super swank. Best service, like the steaks. I have had a steak there that made me cry. I kid you not.
That sounds like a pretty damn good steak.
Oh, it's amazing.
Brought a tear to my eye.
No, not just a tear. Like, I flat out cried. I weirded the waiter out, like, real bad.
Yeah.
Bradley was like, are you okay, girl?
Are you a big food person? Because I love food.
Oh, please. Yes. I love all food.
See, you're more brave than me because I know that you like to try some exotic foods and stuff like that. And I'm, what's the most exotic thing that you've had in recent memory?
In recent memory, I mean, I eat a lot of Vietnamese food. I love Indian foods, like my favorite, hands down. But I don't know. There hasn't been like a whole lot of exotic stuff. Like I recently tried some candy that had like ants in it. That was weird.
Yeah. Could you taste the ants, you think?
Nah. They were just like weird and crunchy and kind of there. It all tasted like sugar.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. It's like, oh, it's an ant. It's like a ant-filled Jolly Rancher. I'm like, oh, it probably just tastes like a Jolly Rancher.
Yep, totally.
These ants probably just added like some sort of, you know, commercial, like, hey, I got to try this and buy this factor.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I feel that. I don't get too crazy, man, when it comes to all that sort of thing. I'm always on some sort of diet, though. So it's like anything that's... I just limit everything that I eat, basically, at one point in my life or another.
I feel you on that. Like, I definitely have done all the diet fads and stuff. And up until this past year, I finally was just like, you know what, man? I barely have time to eat as is. I'm just going to, like, try to make good choices when I do get to eat. But everything in moderation, and I'm not going to limit myself.
Yeah.
Just have a good time.
Yeah, and plus, you're probably up and around and about all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting your exercise in. Mm-hmm. You're getting your steps in on your Fitbit.
I've been sitting on a stool for 11 years. So the bottom of my ass is getting kind of flat.
Blame it on the tattoo chair. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, so you said for 11 years now, mm-hmm. you've been tattooing.
Yep.
Well, let's take it back. Let's take it back before then. Like what got you into, I guess, art and tattooing in general?
Oh, man. So I knew that I wanted to be a tattoo artist when I was like 6 years old. I saw like my first tattoo at that age and they explained to me like what it was. And from that point on, like I was just blown away. I was like, wait, someone drew on you and it's not going to go anywhere.
Right. Do you remember what that was? Was it like fucking bald eagle?
It was something like that. It was a biker.
It was a damned barbed wire, brother.
Yeah, it was a biker. And he like took his leather off and I was like, oh my God. And, you know, they explained that to me and I was like, oh my gosh, like that's amazing. I kind of want to do that. I want my whole body covered like that. So from that point on, I was drawing on myself and my friends, my dresser. Like I was already drawing on the walls in my house, like since I was like 2 years old and decorating everything. So the fact that I just moved to people was like not that big of a transition, but that was always what I wanted to do. And like, as I got older in high school and stuff, it was so much so. In the very beginning, I totally knew that I was one of those weirdos. Like I would see like strange people or alternative people or people with tattoos and be like, oh, I want to be that. I want to be them. Like right. I belong there, you know?
Yeah.
So
well, I think that's kind of what got me into music and stuff like that. I just think that these people that you see are so eccentric and you see the tattoos or long hair. And like, I just wanted to be that, like, or even like when I was like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm going to be this punk kid. Like, it's all about trying to find something that's like, I want to be different than everybody else. I didn't want to show up to school in my Hollister polo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In my, hammer looped jeans. So,
I mean, I was always already that like singled out weirdo that got bullied or whatever, just because I had a messed up home life. I was poor, you know, whatever. So I was getting picked on anyways. It was like, why not hang out with the kids that look cool while they're getting picked on?
Right, exactly. And you grew up in what, Borden?
Yeah, for the most part. I spent most of my childhood like in the Borden area. I was an Army brat, so I moved around a lot when I was really young, but we kept coming back to this area. But Borden, Indiana, we lived there for quite a while. And I think that as much as that was my least favorite town that I've ever lived in,
right?
That was the place that built the most character out of all the places I lived. So,
well, I like the way you said that because that is,
usually when you go through the most shit is like what builds your character. It's what makes you tougher. And it's probably got to be pretty hard to be anything different in Borden, Indiana.
Oh,
no offense to my Borden listeners, but you know what I'm saying? It's a small town. I grew up I went to school in Charlestown in New Washington, which was even smaller. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
is it smaller?
Oh, yeah.
For real?
New Washington, when I went there, had 300 people, grades 6 through 12.
Okay. Borden had 700 in the grade school, middle school, and high school combined into one building. There were 23 kids in my graduating class if I would have graduated from there.
Man.
Yeah, it was
so
tiny.
Being an outsider is probably not the easiest thing to be.
No, but I mean, I've built my whole life on it, so.
Yeah, it is what it is. All I had to do was see The Craft, and I knew that I was in, you
Yes.
know? I know you love The Craft.
Oh, so much. So much.
Who's your favorite? Is Nancy your favorite?
Oh, absolutely. I had my first girlfriend looked so much like Fairuzia Balk in that movie.
I feel weird because I never like thought Fairuzia Balk was like...
I
always thought she was just a very intense looking person.
Mm-hmm.
And then randomly in American History X, I was like, oh, she's kind of hot. And then I was like, well, that's weird. That's the one movie I was like, she's kind of hot in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good Lord.
I thought she was hot in all of her movies, but you know.
I can only think, well, The Waterboy, The Craft.
Oh, good Lord, yes. Like, do you want me to kill them?
Do you want me to kill them?
It's like my favorite meme to use. My husband sent me that, like, we were at an appointment, and I was like losing my shit in the appointment, and I'm like, they're running behind. We're going to be so late for this, and he just sends me that meme. Like, I love you.
Yes. What are some other... she was in Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, God, that's a good one, too. A lot of people don't know about that one.
Dude, that movie is kind of wacky.
Loved it.
As watching it as an adult, I'm like, man, this is... this sure is something.
I watched it over and over again as a kid.
I kind of see the appeal of watching a movie like that as a kid. Because
mm-hmm.
like when I was a kid...
Monsters and like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just not old enough. You don't, like when you're a kid, I think you just get so excited to watch a movie. So you're not going to sit there and critique it. You're just going to watch it and kind of enjoy it. You
just
know?
Eat it up. All of it.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I remember seeing Congo, and I was
Tim Curry. Ooh.
And I was like, this movie's great. And then I have it on VHS, and I rewatched it, and I was like, oh.
It's hilarious.
This movie is great for totally different reasons.
Yes, the Tim Curry is the funniest, best part of that whole movie.
Amy, want raindrop, drink. I'll tell you a movie that scared the shit out of me, and I know you love this movie, and as a kid was Legend.
Oh, God, I have the tattoo. What?
I know. When I was a kid, I remember being like maybe 3 years old. It was on TV. I was really, really young. And I didn't even know what it was. Didn't know what the movie was. But I just knew that there was this Lord of Darkness, this big devil character. Which I'm like, oh, this is the devil.
True.
That, you know, your it's grandparents bae. Warned you about, you know. And that for some reason, the scene in that movie, I guess mixed with like that weird devil scene in Fantasia somehow in my mind.
That's so good.
And it frightened the shit out of me until I was like just forever. Like that image stuck in my mind. And then one day when I'm like in seventh grade, I go over to a friend's house and he's like, hey, you want to watch a movie? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, dude, let's watch Legend. I was like, I've never seen it. And then it's like, it all came back. I'm like 13 years old. I was like, this is the movie that's been haunting me. For a decade.
Dude, I think the witch in that movie was terrifying. Like, she was going to eat Tom Cruise, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, she was terrifying. But Tim Curry as the Lord of Darkness, like, that was bae. Like, that was, oh, my God. I was a child, but I was, like, very afraid yet turned on. Like, all at the same time.
I don't know what to think.
Like, let the seed germinate within you. Like, that... line. Oh my God.
Yes, Tim Curry. I think I will.
The whole time I'm like, why don't you just stay with him? Why are you going to go with the weirdo? Like the little whatever. He's got a loincloth. Like, who cares?
Look at his loincloth. I watched Legend not too long ago. Probably 4 or 5 years ago was the last time I saw it. And after I was done with it, I was like, man, this is exactly like The Legend of Zelda. And then I looked up The Legend of Zelda, like some stuff online, and they're like basically talking about how that video game took huge influence from that movie.
Wow.
And if you think about it, look how Link looks, look how Tom Cruise looks in that. Look at how Zelda looks, look how you know, the princess looks, Lord of Darkness and Ganon, all this sort of stuff. And I was like, man,
That's pretty cool.
It's the closest thing we're going to get to a Legend of Zelda movie, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It was the OG, and it will forever be the best. So,
yeah.
So how do you go from Borden kid to starting to pursue your tattoo stuff?
That was a long road, man. Borden, we finally left Borden. My mother made that decision, and it was probably the best thing she ever did for me. I was just getting bullied so badly, to the point of, like, you know, hospitalization. Like, I mean, I got jumped after school, like, the stories I could tell you, not savory. But she finally made the choice to move to New Albany. My grandmother lived in New Albany and had since like the 50s or 60s, and still has like the biggest like house on Beeler Street, like, but she's lived there forever. And when I got to New Albany, I was like, wait, you have how many art classes? Like 9 art classes? What is this? Like, nowhere does that. Like, they're, you know, high schools in big cities don't even offer that much. So I was in love immediately. I could take like sculpture and painting and photography and like all fiber arts, like random shit. It was awesome. And like, it was also the first school that I went to that it was culture shock. Like, immediately there were a group of kids that I fell into, and they were welcoming and awesome. Shout out to Allie Baker, still one of the coolest people in the world that I give mad props to. It would not be who I am if it was not for Allie. But yeah, that school was great, and I learned so much there, and then ended up going to, I had a scholarship to Savannah College of Art and Design, but I was dating someone in the area and decided to stay here. Went to IUS for art, and there I met April Boss. I got my first tattoo from her. I was actually supposed to get my first tattoo from someone else, but he got fired, and April ended up doing my tattoo. And she went to IUS for art also, and she had seen like some of my artwork. And every time I got tattooed by her, I would ask her a million questions, like, what do you do this for? What's that for? You know, whatever. And we just kind of hit it off, and she offered me an apprenticeship. I was like, have you ever thought about being a tattoo artist? And I was like, oh, dude, since I was like 6 years old, but
only every day.
Yeah. So I like cried and was like, hell yeah, I'll do it. Like, I'll be here. And like, if it wasn't for April Boss, like, this, none of this would have happened. Like, I was such a shy, like, scary little vegan, like, would not speak to anybody. Trying to like seek out an apprenticeship is hard, and the fact that one was offered to me, like, now I know, like, years later, I've seen the industry in and out, and I was so lucky, so fortunate that someone took it upon themselves to take me on, this little pain in the ass, and basically trained their competition and like thought that I was worth it, you know, like,
right.
That's huge. I owe her my whole career. So that was big. Side story, when I was like 12, Allie Baker's dad took me to go meet another tattoo artist, and I won't say his name, but I went in and I was so nervous, but her dad was like, oh girl, your art's so beautiful. You draw some beautiful things. You know, you should be a tattoo artist, and I want to help you do that. So he took me, to a shop, the shop that he went to, and I was so nervous. I walked in with my little portfolio of drawings, and I was like, oh, Mr. So-and-so, like, I really want to be a tattoo artist. Would you look at my drawings and tell me if I have talent, you know, whatever, tell me what I should do. And he was like, well, first of all, you'll never be a tattoo artist because you're a girl, and this industry is not for women.
Weird.
And
how wrong was that, though?
Oh, I was crushed. I thought, like, for sure this guy knows, so, like, I 100% believed him. I was like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about the fact that it is a male-dominated industry, and it may not be possible for me to do this. And it was like everything. I just wanted to die at that point.
Right. Like,
oh man, it was bad. But luckily, he was so fucking wrong.
Yeah. And you got your first tattoo from a female tattoo artist. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? In the industry, making it happen.
Yeah, that was kind of a big deal. She ended up being a shop owner, and making a name for herself, too. And since then, I've met and built friendships with so many female tattoo artists that are just bad bitches.
Yeah.
And now the industry, like, I remember 11 years ago going to a tattoo convention, and there being, like, maybe 5 female tattoo artists amongst, like, 200 or something. And now you go to a tattoo convention, and it's, like, I mean, first of all, tattoo conventions are huge now, and you have more like 700 to 1,000 tattoo artists in any convention, and now it's like at least 50%, sometimes more.
Yeah. I mean, there's, I think there's a genuine appeal for women to get tattooed by women and for men to get tattooed by women. I think that it appeals to both sides.
Yeah, there's a comfort level there, especially with, you know, in this day and age, everybody coming out with like the Me Too movement and like sexual harassment. And, you know, it's a stereotype for a reason. There's definitely many people have experiences with that. And some people just have past trauma that they feel more comfortable with a woman, and that's okay. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's, their feelings are valid and there should be someone there to make them feel comfortable. But just as much as, yeah, that's a stereotype, you know, the whole like, you know, sexual harassment thing in the tattoo industry and, people abusing that power, that place of power. I think that's just even more is like an opportunity for other male tattooers to stand up and show how professional and how, what badass artists they are, and to show people how comfortable they can, whatever, make that experience, but also calling their buddies out when they see that shit happening.
Right.
So it's a new era in the tattoo world for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think so too. And just the common practices, like I guess too, like 10 years ago or 20 years ago, you go to a tattoo shop and you probably think, oh, these are just like some, I don't know, I don't want to stereotype anybody, but you know, probably these rough and tumble guys that are in there doing it. You know what I'm saying?
It was built on the backs of like, you know, a lot of criminals and a lot of people who were just rough, you know, like it was an alternative thing. And now it's so not like that. It's like all these art nerds.
Right.
We're all a bunch of art nerds, man.
What are some of your big influences when it comes to your art, whether that's tattooing or just your personal art?
Oh, man. Really, like, media as a whole. Like, I mean, movies, definitely. Like, you and I have always had that in common where we grew up on movies. That's who, like, I was raised by a television, basically.
Same, yeah.
And, you know, that's awesome. So that's a lot of the influence there. But, like, when I first started, like, we didn't even have a computer or internet in the shop. Like, it was, you didn't have the access to inspiration. Now, like, oh my God, ever since Instagram became a thing and Tumblr, it's so different. Like, you have at your fingertips this access to constant inspiration, and it's wonderful. Like, my tattooing completely took off, my style, like, shit just started getting so much better once I had access to like set that bar for myself. I could see what all these other tattoo artists are doing. I could also see like just art as a whole, like from everywhere, all over the world. It was like, oh my God, like I couldn't get enough of it. Yeah. So, inspiration wise though, like, I mean, shit, you know who I am. I'm old school goth kid.
Yeah.
So like dark, creepy shit. And like, I do still like buy books, like art books and stuff for inspiration. But for the most part, it's just whatever's around me, you know?
I just imagine, that had you and I met each other probably in the mid-90s, we would just been reading like Sandman.
Yes! Something.
But yeah. I met you.
Listening to The Cure a lot.
Yeah. I've just been listening to The Cure a lot. But I met you right kind of where we left off in your history there, because right before you got your apprenticeship, I think, is when I first met you, because we both happened to be working in, we on the same day started in the same training class in a call center.
Yeah. Actually, I think I had started my apprenticeship thing because I was sitting there at that call center just drawing
but
my assignments and
that.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I do remember you having all the books and stuff, mm-hmm. and you walk by. I'm like, yeah, I want that. You know, I want that lightning bolt or that rocket ship. You know?
Yeah, it was silly. I think now, though, like, I forget, though, the occult has definitely been a big inspiration as of late. Like, that's kind of a recent thing for me in the last couple of years. I've been very into, like, tarot, and we have, like, a monthly tarot night at the shop where we teach people to read tarot, and, like, I've been reading a lot with that and kind of taking some time to, like, dig into my own spirituality and, like, take some time for myself and mental state and whatever. And the occult's, like, limitless. There's
right.
That's such a huge, I don't know, spectrum of information and knowledge and wisdom. And when it comes to art, like, art plays heavily into that. There's so much good art.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, too, probably just having to do with how old we are, because I've noticed myself at 32.
God, we're so old.
But I'm just saying, like, just kind of at our age, maybe we're just at this point, because, you know, I'm 32. So, but I would say for, like, the last 3 years, I've just been looking, like, way outside of myself to find something, like whether it is like reading up more like spirituality or occult or this or that, or getting into new concepts or tarot or what have you, like watching different movies, like reading different books, doing different things, like that kind of like search, I guess, like, I don't know, maybe just at our age, we're looking to get into something
to
a little
expand.
Bit. Exactly.
I feel like if you're not changing and growing and bettering yourself, you may as well be dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why are you even, what are you doing?
I'm a big fan of that. I know so many people and listeners out there, if you ever feel this way, just kind of stop for a second and think to yourself, like, is this, I don't know, complaint on Facebook going to help me? Or if I just like pick myself up and change the thing that I didn't like, will that help you more? And mm-hmm. the answer is yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be a go-getter.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're somebody, you know, and we'll get to the, we can go ahead and jump off from there, but you're somebody that didn't let people tell you no and did everything you could to succeed in your own world, in your own field. So you go from being, you know, your apprentice, and then you worked at Jolly Roger mm-hmm. with April for a long time.
Yeah.
What made you decide to go into business for yourself?
Well, after when I was working with April, I actually I got an offer to work with Travis King over at Prophecy Inc. They welcomed me with open arms, and I basically worked there for a couple years. I'd never worked in Louisville really, except for like tattoo conventions. So, I wanted to see what that was like, and I do love Louisville. Louisville is awesome. And you got to say it like that, Louisville. Like you got marbles in your mouth, but it was a great like city and town, but it was so, oh man, it was so hectic. Like there's so much there, and like you can throw a rock anywhere in Louisville and hit like three tattoo shops. You know, right. It's very congested. It's very like there's so many tattoo shops, which is cool for like, it was awesome going to see friends, like walk down the street, you know, to Twisted Images or like, you know, now there's so many more though. Like even since I've left Louisville, it's like, holy shit.
But, right.
I just always loved New Albany, man. Like New Albany is my hometown. And like, that's the place that I first felt safe. That was the place that I felt like was home. Like my grandma's house being there. And like, I know those streets so well. Like I grew up walking those streets in a mini skirt, fishnets and Marilyn Manson t-shirt, you know, like
yeah.
hanging out at Little Chef, you know what I mean? At 3 o'clock in the morning with truckers and stuff, you know, yeah. like I didn't have any supervision. So I was kind of up to my own devices. So New Albany like raised me, and I don't know, being in Louisville, it made me like want to be a little bit more chill. Like I wanted to have kind of my own space, and I had some ideas of like things I wanted to do differently, like just as a shop, you know, and it's really hard. Like when you're working for somebody else, you can only suggest things so much, or like it's their baby, you know, like, right. And I get that now being a business owner, like it's your baby. Like that's your life. When you go into a small business, it doesn't matter what you do. If it's tattooing or a baker or like whatever, that is your baby. And like you want to do things a certain way. And let's be honest, I'm a control freak and I'm super OCD. I was that kid in high school that was like, oh, we got a group project. Cool. So I'm going to do it. Right.
Yeah.
You guys want an A? Cool. I'll do it. You just yeah. like, don't touch it.
Just sign your name at the end, please.
Yes, exactly. So I'm still that person. Like, I like to just do shit on my own. I like to make those decisions. I like to take control of a situation and do things the way that I think is, you know, the way to do it. But so I don't know. I toyed with the idea, and like Victoria, she was with me and worked with me and stuff. And she was my apprentice. And I love that girl so much. If it wasn't for her, like, we definitely wouldn't be here either. But she's like one of my biggest support systems, especially as far as business goes. She's not only my best friend, but she's, you know, she's kind of like a partner, like in a way. When Gerald's not around, she runs the show. When I'm not around, she does the shit. And she was like, you need to do this. You need to open a shop. She was like, you will be amazing at it. And she was the main reason I even did it. We kind of wanted to build like our own sanctuary that was like a place that we could create amazing art and inspire each other, and that everyone who was there would inspire also, but that we could just be ourselves and be chill and do things the way we wanted to. But we wanted to be a hangout, you know, like where right. our friends felt comfortable to come chill and like whatever. And that's what we did. But it took a minute. I mean, oh my God. It was so stressful and awful. And there were times that I like just cried. funny stories along the whole way. Like I passed out when we first got the place. Sorry, drink water.
A little water break there, guys.
Sorry. allergy meds are making me like super dry right now. Go out of town for a little bit and you come back to this area and it's like allergies hit you like real hard. But yeah, when we first got the property for where the shop is now, it was just the very back end of it and it was a private studio. It was just me and I had to do most of the renovations. Matt McMahon helped me. He owned the property, you know, and, it was so hard though. There was so much stuff. I had to lay some polyurethane on the floor and 10 coats of polyurethane. Oh my God, it takes a long time. And I'm not a professional at this stuff, so I didn't know. So I didn't have a mask on and all the doors were closed. And my husband was out doing some stuff with friends and was meeting me back there. And he came back and I was like passed out on the floor. Like, I got a little delirious and, yeah, they came in the door, and as soon as he walked in, he was like, what the fuck? It smells so bad in here. And, like, came back to the room, was like, what are you doing here, bro? Oh, my God. Like, probably thought his wife was dead. But, yeah, that was scary. Like, learning how to do brick and mortar, never thought I'd do that. Fuck.
Yeah, dude.
My Uncle Mark, like, helped me so much. He builds houses and stuff, or did for a living. He's retired now. But he came through and was like, yep, you're going to have to do this, and we're going to build this. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. Now you went from being tattoo artist to regular Vanilla Ice. Just really flipping those renovations.
Dude, never again, please.
Dude.
Yeah, this time around, like, well, we expanded to the front of that property, brought Victoria on, and then we added Alexis. She was my apprentice, and she's an amazing artist. She's only been tattooing like out of her apprenticeship for 2 years now, and I can't believe it. She does such amazing work for only tattooing 2 years. And then we brought on Jesse, Jesse Walker. He's phenomenal too. And then we brought on Charlie, and like, we've just had this like awesome little family. Like, we have this like perfect little team. Each of us specialize in something different, but we all inspire each other to like step out of our boundaries. And I don't know, we're all best friends. Like, we basically have no life and are at the shop like 24/7. So
that's your clubhouse.
Yeah, it's like, it's the clubhouse. Yeah, totally.
And you guys are the babysitter's club. Well, that's awesome though. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing better than to be able to, get to hang out with your friends all day, but also, you know, further your life, further your career.
Create something beautiful.
And create on people, yeah, all across this tri-state area.
Giving somebody an experience. It's so, like, humbling, and, like, sometimes I forget that, like, the people that we see every day, our clients, they don't do this shit, like, on a daily basis. Like, some of these clients, they come in, and it's the only tattoo they're going to get in their whole life. And I'm like, God, that's nuts. So I'm like, there's so much pressure and stress to, like, make that the best experience possible, because they're going to remember it forever. I don't want a client to come in and get a tattoo and the thing they remember is that their tattoo artist was like in a shit mood or like smelled bad, right, you know, yeah, something like that. So like every day I'm like trying to set the scene, like make it a whole thing for them. Like, you are the rock star of the day. You are getting this fucking awesome thing and I'm going to make your day stellar. You know, it's going to be the best experience ever, but
it's going to be like going to the spa.
Yeah, totally. We try to make it like
that. You're
getting
pampered.
You walk in like, hey, do you need a water? Like, here, let me set you up. Let me wrap up this pillow and some plastic so you can be comfy. Like, you know, whatever they need.
That's what you get, guys. 5-star treatment when you go to Banana Fish Tattoos.
Let's hope.
And hey, I can speak. I've gotten a lot of work done by Amber. So I highly recommend everyone else do the same and check out Victoria and Alexis and Jesse and Charlie.
Yeah.
While you're there.
Yeah.
You know, make it happen. You said your allergies are acting up and you come into town. You told me that you were actually out of town this weekend on a little convention.
Yeah, we were at Knoxville Tattoo Convention. It's one of our favorites. It's not a big convention. It's not like Chicago. Chicago's huge. It's not like one of the Villain Arts ones. This is like kind of a down home, like smaller convention. But we did it by chance. Like, I think it was like 5 years ago we did it the first time. It was just me and Victoria. And we had like the best time. We made good money, but we made so many friends. Like, people are so hospitable. Knoxville is kind of like, I look at it like Nashville's hipster younger brother.
Right.
Like, there's more cool restaurants. Like, there's more of an art scene, like, in the sense of, I don't know, alternative kind of, I don't know. It's just so nice.
Yeah.
It's a college town. I love it. And we always have a blast every time we go there. It's almost like family reunion. Like, we meet up with these tattoo artists that we've built these long-term friendships with, and we just have a fucking blast.
So. Yeah, and guys, if Amber didn't give you enough reasons to go to Knoxville, professional wrestler Kane is now the mayor. That's a true story, guys. Congratulations, Glenn Jacobs, on your big win. But yes. Well, I'm glad that you're having fun out there on the convention circuit, but you're working hard. I know you got a lot of stuff coming up too.
Yeah.
That you were talking about to me before we started rolling. We'll give everybody the details. A little bit later, as far as what your schedule looks like, but you have something huge that will be coming up. Guys, you're listening to this podcast. It's happening tomorrow. Tell them the big news.
I'm freaking out.
Sean versus Wild exclusive, everybody.
So I haven't really like pushed it on social media a whole lot. I released some like teasers and videos and stuff, but because we plan on doing it big when it actually happens and stuff. But yeah, tomorrow we open our new location. We are moving the shop. We found a property that is, oh my gosh, we've done this huge remodel. We didn't even know this was going to happen until like 2 months ago. We just happened to find it and we were like, all right, fuck, let's make it happen.
Right.
So 2 months, we've done this entire demolished the whole place, took two properties, knocked out the walls, did all this shit, made it one giant property. And it's like 1,000 more square feet than what we have right now. So it's like 3,200 square feet total. It's massive. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do with all this space. I'm definitely going to skate in it before I put furniture in there and stuff. Like, but it's like 12 by 12 artist stations. We're going to have 7 artist stations. There's also like rooms in the back for like break room, supply room, you know, bathroom, all that stuff. But it's just swank as fuck. Like, we've put so much money into it. It is bougie. Bougie. I love that word. I'm sorry.
But yeah, how awesome is that? A total step up here from what you're doing. And, and you, now you need a huge facility.
Yeah, we outgrew it, man.
That's what I'm saying, dude. That you're doing big things there.
I'm so excited.
In this world. Dude, and I bet New Albany, too, because you're talking about, like, I want to, you know, basically put a shop in my stomping ground, in my backyard. But the thing is, you know, there isn't a tattoo shop on every corner in New Albany.
No, there's not.
You got that market in that little tri-state area. And people want to, like I said, there is a lot of people that want to go and get work done by you, Victoria, and Alexa specifically. There's going to be people that want to not cross the bridge thanks to the damn tolls.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But luckily, we're like right off the free bridge, the 64.
Do you hear that, guys? Like, right off the free bridge.
We are directly the first, like, the first stoplight you really come to there. We're right next to it. Like, it's so easy to find. I love our location. Like, it makes it so much easier for people. But yeah, we definitely try to, like, New Albany has like a few tattoo shops, but no, like, we're the only completely custom, like, appointment based. Like, we can take walk-ins occasionally, but most of our artists are booked in advance. Like, we like that though, because we want to spend extra time on each of those designs. So, like, I want to have a few days at home to draw, redraw. Redraw. 6 times usually, like, cause we're artists. So we're like, oh God, that's terrible. I'm going to do it again until we like it. And, we definitely don't do the flash thing. Like, you don't walk in and say, I want the number 5. Like, that's not a thing at our shop. Like, it is all custom artwork and we do consultations with each client. Like, we want it to be catered to them. Like, we collaborate with the client and make it like a whole thing. But I feel like New Albany deserves that, you know? Like, New Albany is up and coming. Like, you want to talk, like, big things. Like, Longboards just went in. Like, you've got all these huge restaurants. DKD just had a huge facelift. Like, oh my God, if you haven't been to the new DKD, check that shit out. It is amazing. But everywhere in New Albany is getting better. Like, there's so many good new places, new shops. Like, Him, that's one of my favorite. I bought Gerald so many pairs of underwear at Him.
But, like, shout out to Him.
Dude, shout outs to everybody in New Albany, though. Like, I'm so proud of my hometown. Like, it is just going above and beyond. And, like, I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother telling me stories about New Albany in the 50s and 60s and how it was like Barstown Road. You could not go anywhere without seeing, like, dozens of people walking all over the streets, hundreds of people, you know, like having a good time, like going to, there were bars, there were like grocery stores and like everything. It was a place that you hung out, you know, and there were events and stuff. And, you know, then in the 80s and 90s, it became a ghost town. Like New Albany died for a while. It was, nobody went to New Albany for anything. And it was kind of sad. Like, I liked that shit when I was a young goth kid and hanging out in the industrial park and like taking photos and that desolate, like Bruce Springsteen feel, you know, I was all about that.
I'm going for a real desolate look here on this. Can you make it black and white, please? Thank you.
Yeah. But now it's like totally different. And I love it. Like, we bought a house in New Albany. Like, I'm staying, man. Like, I'm not going anywhere. New Albany is my heart is there. But yeah, New Albany deserves like a good, not saying that other places aren't, but like New Albany deserves like the pamper treatment. It deserves the bougie shit. It deserves that class treatment, you know? Yeah.
And you're an integral part of the community. Like I said, one of the most, if not the most requested guest is
guys.
You got to get Amber on the show.
Aww, you're so sweet.
So yeah. And you also do like big things too, just outside of it, like for the community. I think this is going to be a huge thing for the community to check out, because grand opening, I guess the big opening is tomorrow, but you guys are having a big coming out party, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're going to do a grand expansion party, kind of like an open house. Harvest Homecoming has been like one of my favorite events ever. Since I was like a child, I think I've missed like maybe 2-3 Harvest Homecomings ever.
And I was
ever.
Really sick, okay?
Yeah, like, and not by choice. But yeah, Harvest Homecoming is like the best festival ever. Like, they shut down so many streets in New Albany, and it's just nonstop. The food, Sean.
Well, let me, I was going to get there, but I'm going to ask you now. What's your favorite Harvest Homecoming treat?
Oh, dude. Okay, so the Masons, they make the donuts. I have never really been a huge fan of donuts. I don't eat donuts like hardly ever. It goes back to being on diets all the time. But but yeah, the Masons donuts are the shit. Everybody knows about that line.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to sit in line for like 3 to 5 hours for a dozen donuts.
Worth it.
Duh. Like, you're getting all your friends' donuts too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
My uncle's a Mason, so he always gets me the hook up there. Like, shout out to Uncle Robbie. But yeah, I love donuts. I mean, it's kind of tradition. You got to go to the Democratic booth and get your fried mushrooms. You got to get your chicken and dumplings from the Redman's Club, because that's, you got to go down that back alley like it's a fucking crack deal.
Yeah.
And be like, yo, man, it's like that side door. And you're like, can I get 12 orders of dumplings?
Yeah. Like, you just give them like a really shittily folded up 10. And just pass it around.
Dude, that's a thing. The years that I was working so much that I didn't have time to go to Harvest Homecoming, and that's really what it was, just working my ass off, and didn't get there in time before they closed or sold out. That's always a thing.
Yeah, dude, that's going to sell out for
I'd
sure.
I'd be begging clients like, hey, I know you got an appointment today, but would you stop by Harvest Homecoming and like grab me some dumplings?
Yeah, I'll give you $15 off of it.
Yeah, dude, no, whatever. There was a, oh my God, I had one client, Kevin Ledger. We know Kevin. He brought me 4 orders of chicken and dumplings to his tattoo appointment because he knew that it was Harvest Homecoming and I was not going to get to like spend much time there. So mad love, Kevin, mad love. I'll never forget that, bro. But yeah, Harvest Homecoming, October 14th, that Sunday, we're going to do the grand expansion party, and we're going to do like goodie bags, give out t-shirts. We got some enamel pins, stickers, you know, the whole nine, but we're also going to get a keg of my beer that NABC did, the Banana Fish Amber Ale. I got to do the artwork for it and I was super stoked. It's a tarot card in case nobody got it.
In case you just didn't get
it. Yeah, Ace of Cups, what? Yeah, it should be huge. It's like open to anybody. Anybody can come. Like, we're not going to be tattooing or anything. It's just come hang out and say hey.
Yeah, and you're probably the first person I've talked to on this podcast that has their own beer. How did that come about?
Oh, dude. Okay, so NABC, New Albanian Brewing Company. I talk about New Albany. I talk about how my heart is here. There's so many stories, so many reasons. I used to go to NABC when I was a child, like in high school, whatever. And we had a ritual where Allie Baker would get money from her parents because she had a bunch of delinquent miscreant friends that were poor as shit. And her parents would pay for us to go like once a week to New Albanian and get a wagon wheel They don't have it anymore, but the wagon wheel, guys, bring it back. Bring it back. It's a huge pizza that didn't even fit on the damn table, and we would eat that whole fucking pizza and get a picture of Mr. Pibb and sit there for hours, and we kind of got stoned in the park. But we would hang out, and they had arcade games, and now they have a whole room of arcade games that our friend Potato and Jason Rainwater, Stephen Ingram and Jason Rainwater, supply or whatever, and it's awesome. It's such a good hangout. I spent... excuse me, so many years of my youth, like, hanging out there so many nights. When I turned 21, that was the first place I went. I was like, you guys can legally serve me beer. Yes, let's do this. And they gave me an open tab, and it was, like, amazing.
Did your wedding?
Yeah. Like, of course, yeah. They totally, when we got married, we had our redneck pagan hand fasting out in the woods, and they drove Rosie, the beer truck, all the way out into the woods. And Dave Pierce, he was one of the brewers there at the time, he stocked that thing. We went through so much beer. Luckily, we like ordered a certain amount of beer. I think it was like 2 kegs or something, 3 kegs. I don't remember. And luckily, he brought a bunch of backup stuff, and we blew all of it, like, before we were even halfway through the reception. Like, it was 2 hours.
Probably
it was
a smart idea, considering the crowd of people that were there, myself included.
Oh, my God. It was a good time, right?
It was an amazing time.
We limited that guest list, like went through the list and deleted people, like, 4 times to get it down to, like, 200 people. And I still felt bad.
It was jam-packed.
It was awesome. Dude, greatest time ever. But, yeah, like, NABC, they have my heart, dude. I still go there, even when I'm on dietary restriction. Like, they even have a keto pizza now, where you can get a crustless pizza.
That sounds fantastic.
It's awesome. So, yeah, when Ben Gordon, he was brewing there, and... yeah, all the people that work there I've known forever, and they were like, man, you know, we've never done an amber ale. Like, what should we do with it? And they were all like, oh, dude, who's our favorite amber? Amber Banana Fish. And yeah, I was like, go. Oh, man, my friends. So they were like, I mean, she'd do the artwork, right? And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, they presented me with that. And I kid you not, I fucking bawled. Like, I cried so hard. Like, we're talking ugly cry, like snot bubble cry. My husband will attest. I was a mess. I could not believe it.
That's a huge deal. Like I said, you have your own beer.
Oh, my God. That's probably, like, that was a life goal, definitely. I never thought that something like that would happen, but I love beer. Like, oh, my God.
If you could put your name on any other product, what would it be?
Oh, shit.
Chicken and dumplings?
Yeah, probably something food related.
have you tried the Banana Fish chicken and dumplings?
Actually, DKD had a roll for me. I think it was like a year ago. It was the Banana Fish roll, and it was eel and like seared bananas, like, or what do you call it? When they do the flame over it.
When they do the creme brulee thing.
Yeah, that thing, the torchy thing.
Yeah, I was going to say torched bananas.
Yeah, it was awesome, dude. That was really fucking cool too.
Flambé.
Because we get food from DK Flambé.
Yeah.
Bananas flambé. That's with alcohol. No.
I don't know.
Nah, we don't know.
Close.
We're foodies, right? No.
Just put it in front of us. We'll fucking eat it, all right? Jeez.
Damn straight.
You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, we get food from DKD all the time, so that was cool of them. But yeah, and in ABC, they did like a whole release party. There was a stupid amount of people there. They sold out of beer. Like, as I last time I heard, they keep selling out of it. Like, it's their most sold beer in like a long fucking time. And I'm just like, for real? Like, they keep having to make new batches because they're running out so fast, but it's awesome. They put glitter in it though at the release party. That was the coolest thing ever. It was edible glitter. But Ben Gordon was like, yeah, that was really expensive, so we're only doing that batch.
That's limited a dish. Do you have any for yourself to take home? Did you get like a growler?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, I'm glad that I know you. Maybe you can give me the hookup. Maybe next time you have a party, you'll let me take a sip of it. See
oh,
what it's
my
like.
God. Please.
I love a good beer.
We haven't gotten shitty together in a minute.
It's been, not since 4th of July. Big shout out to Evan and Thunder
Julia.
Over Corden.
Oh, my God. Julia, your house. I love the Beazel parties, man. If you don't know the Beazel family, they're the coolest fucking people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't no party like a Beazel party.
No shit. And we had a sing-along.
Yes, we did.
During the fireworks. We nailed that shit. We were singing King of Wishful Thinking, which is, by the way, one of my favorite songs.
I was about to say that. One of my favorites.
Dude, third grade talent show. Choreography and everything. Yours truly right here.
I can't wait to see that. Hopefully you have that on cassette.
No.
Nah. But yeah, what do you guys have, what do you have coming up here besides, of course, everybody come out on October 14th to the grand expansion. It's during Harvest Homecoming. You're going to be out and about anyway.
Yeah.
So you got to come and party. I'll be there, and Amber will be there. So both of us will be there. Not bad. But yeah, what do you have coming up too? Because I know you're always. You got the shop stuff, but you're always doing conventions. You're always out and about making appearances. Where can people catch you, I guess, in the next few months?
So we've got some more travel lined up. This past year, I did like a convention or a guest spot every month except for June and July. And man, I was exhausted. We didn't know we were going to be moving the shop. So I'm trying to juggle all that, and it's tough. So next year, we're going to take it a little bit more chill. But in the meantime, like here in... Oh my gosh, I forgot the dates. My phone's in the other room. End of September, I think it's the 27th, 28th, 29th, I'm doing North Dakota, West Fargo, the Ink and Iron Rough Rider Convention. I've never done that one before, but a good friend of mine, Kelly Stevenson, he offered me a free booth. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So to just come hang out, tattoo, check it out. And our other friend, Athena, she has a house nearby, and we're going to be crashing with her. So basically it was like, yo, buy your plane ticket and go have a good time. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, get your name out there, make a little money.
Yeah, just hanging with friends. Really, conventions are like, for me, it's not so much about making money. Like, if I make, you know, back what I spend on travel and stuff, that's great. But mostly it's about learning techniques from other artists. It's about making new friends, making connections, talking shop, like, and also just tattoo culture. That's the only way to, like, really learn all that stuff as an artist and to put yourself out there is being around other tattoo artists. And what better way to do that than at a convention? So it's awesome. But, and then after that, that's in September. Then I'm doing a guest spot. Oh, wait. The guest spot comes first. My bad. I'm doing a week-long guest spot at the Raw Canvas in Grand Junction, Colorado. My buddy Justin Nordine, he owns this phenomenal shop. And truth be honest, most of the ideas and the stuff that we've done with our shop over the years, like when we make improvements, when we turned everything to iPads, when we converted things to like way more high technology, like... all the bougie stuff. I totally stole it from Justin.
Yeah, gotta have an inspiration.
Dude, he's the best. He is so awesome about sharing that knowledge too and being like, hey, have you tried this? Like, hey, this is what we do. And he just actually expanded his shop, and it's massive now. And he had brought in like a designer and like rebranded everything, and it's amazing. So I get to go out there, hang out with them for a week, and we mostly like sit around and tattoo each other.
Right.
And like hang out, go to the nude hot springs, you know, eat some edibles.
In Colorado, where it's perfectly legal.
Yay. But yeah, get with the program, Indiana. But yeah, it's awesome. And so I'm going to go hang out there, do that other... I have like one day. I do the guest spot. I come home, fly in. I have like less than 24 hours to shower, repack my bag, and then I go to that convention. And then I come back, and my girlfriends and Gerald are taking me on a cabin getaway to try to de-stress after all that.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to some cabin in the middle of Kentucky. I don't even know. I don't care. I'm just going to let them throw me in the car, and I'm just going to go.
Just Evil Dead 2 style.
Yeah.
We'll just see how it happens. We'll see what happens.
Well, I don't know about that. More like a pleasurecation. But yeah. Anyway. And then, let's see here. In November, I'm doing a guest spot at Allegory in Florence, Alabama. Eva Jean and Ulysses Blair, badass tattoo artists, they offered me to come stay with them for a little bit and do a guest spot. So I'm super stoked about that. All of this, by the way, you can find on my Instagram. My Instagram and Facebook, I post like all of my convention schedule, like the actual dates and stuff, because I can't remember that shit. But and then in December, I'm going to Twisted Anchor in it's in Mississippi. It's outside of Biloxi. I forgot the name of the town. It's awesome, though. Matt Sebley owns that shop, and he puts on Due South Tattoo Convention, which is one of my favorite tattoo conventions. It is one of the most high-end, like, invite-only, amazing tattoo conventions. Only the most baller artists ever. But they
And you're one of them.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I don't know why they, like, let me be there, but... I'm stoked that they let me just hang out, you know. But yeah, we're gonna hang out, and I'm so excited for that one too. But and then in January, I don't think we have anything going on. I think we have a little bit of a break, and then February though, my other favorite tattoo convention, Literary Ink, which is the coolest thing to fucking happen in the tattoo world. It is a Harry Potter themed tattoo convention. We did it last year and had one of the best times of our lives. Everyone at our shop pretty much is a huge Harry Potter nerd. Like, dude.
So it's just going to be the best of both worlds. You got your Harry Potter, and then you got your community of awesome artists.
And everything's themed towards that. Like, they have a cosplay costume. They have all the booths are, like, set up in that style. There's, like, there's a scavenger hunt for the Golden Snitch. But they have a Instagram and a website that you can totally look up and get all the information for the event and get tickets and hotel information. But dude, that thing is going to be off the chain. Last year, I think it sold out. I'm not sure. This year they've already sold out of artist booths, like, and it's not till February,
man.
So, and it's invite only too. Like, it's amazing. So, thanks to our Griffin Sav fam, who are one of our sponsors. Griffin Sav is, like, we sell it at the shop. It's badass. It's an ointment that you use for your tattoo. It's all organic and vegan and super hippie shit, but legit the best. They got us in on that convention, and I could not be more grateful. Like, it's now our favorite, but, so yeah, Harry Potter convention in February, beginning of February, and then March is Due South Tattoo Convention, woot! And that is at a casino, the Golden Nugget, in Biloxi, Mississippi, and they have floating canopy beds and a swim-up bar.
So I know where you'll be when you're not tattooing.
Yeah, last year Charlie and I went together, and it was definitely a bonding experience. Like, he hadn't been working at the shop for that long, and we hadn't really, like, gotten to know each other, like, on a deep level, and that weekend changed it for us. Like, I bonded with that dude, like, hardcore, and we had so much fun. It was amazing.
All it takes is a swim-up bar, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man, I'm a sucker for a swim-up... sorry, it was the floating canopy bed that was really the...
Oh, fair enough, guys. Sean versus Wild exclusive here. But yeah, so man, you got a packed next 6-7 months.
Yeah, dude.
Never stop.
Yeah, right now I'm booked at the shop with appointments until February, so like end of February. So
listeners, if you want to get in, man, you go ahead and make your appointment now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't delay.
I never close my books. I never, like, some artists close their books for a while so they can, like, kind of, you know, calm it down, and then so they don't stay booked out too far. But I have problems doing that. I don't like saying no to people.
Right.
I really don't. Like, that's my least favorite thing. I would much rather just keep my books open and continue to book, you know. And if people really want to get tattooed for me, they don't mind. They don't mind waiting, you know. Yeah. It's cool. And it gives me more time to plan that shit, like, and make it the best that I can make it.
Exactly. So. Let me ask you a question here as we're winding down. I just want to ask you one question because you're so motivated. What do you think is the secret to success?
Oh, it kind of, oh man, it's a little bit of a callback. So I think it's different for everybody, right? Like, everybody's got that thing that, like, pushes them, that drives them, whatever. For me, it's people telling me I can't.
Yeah.
So honestly, every situation I've ever been in where someone has told me that it's not possible or that I can't or has tried to tell me no, fuck that.
Nice.
I love that. That shit fuels my fire, and I'm one of those people who somebody could have said something like 10 years ago and said, you'll never do this. And dude, I'll probably still be thinking about it when I'm 70.
I'm just not going to let it go until I have
it. Nah. Oh, I love that though. And it's putting in a positive spin on it. You know, like,
absolutely.
Take that shit. Use it. Anytime somebody tells you that you're not worthy or you're not good enough or you can't do something, fuck you. Watch me, bitch. Like, I love that. Like, I'm sorry. I'm being so vulgar. I do have a filthy fucking mouth, guys. What the fuck's a lady? Yeah. I don't know.
You can say whatever you want here. It's fine.
Yay, I love podcasts. I could never be on the news.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I love that. That should fuel your fire. Like, anyone that's listening to this, if you have had anyone in your life tell you that you are not capable, that you are not worthy, that you are not beautiful, that you are not whatever, dude, use that shit. Use that shit to make you push yourself to limits you never thought possible, because fuck that. You can. Who said?
Exactly. I feel that. And I think that's a great message. Listeners, take that to heart. And Amber, also too, where can people find you? What is your Facebook and Instagram where people can find it and make it happen?
Amber Banana Fish on everything. Like, I'm so glad that I lucked into that to where no one had used it. Like,
right.
I started that shit with LiveJournal and MySpace back in the day. And like, now nobody else has that. It's Amber Banana Fish on everything. Facebook, Instagram.
LiveJournal.
Yeah. If you want to see some really fucking bad poetry, some really sad shit from when I was in high school, it's there.
You heard it here first, guys. Facebook, Twitter, LiveJournal, Instagram, making it
bringing
happen.
It back, bringing it back.
Well, Amber, I'm so glad that we got to sit down and actually sit down and do this.
I am too,
podcast.
Man. I miss you.
I miss you too. I think after this, we should I don't know, drink some amber ale and celebrate. We'll celebrate early the shop that is opening up. And guys, definitely check it out. It opens up tomorrow, 421 State Street. In New Albany, Indiana. Go tell Amber how proud of you, or proud of her you are. And, you know, just make it happen. 421 State Street, New Albany. Check out the brand new Banana Fish Tattoo Parlor.
Thanks, Sean.
And do it now or tomorrow. Just do it tomorrow. Don't do it right now. Do it tomorrow.
I'll be sleeping.
All right. Now we're going to go celebrate, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. This has been the Sean vs. Wild Podcast.
Thank you for listening, DNN.